Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier.
Is polyamory just a fancy word for sleeping around when you're in a committed relationship? Do all open relationships end in a self-absorbed, sex-crazed disaster? And what can you learn from the mother of a newborn who stayed home last night while her husband was on a date? This week, Kendra Kunov is on The New Man to discuss her experience of polyamory and open relationships. Welcome to The New Man. Today I've got Kendra Kunov. She's a facilitator with the Authentic Man Program, and we're going to be talking about polyamory. Kendra, how are you?
I feel really good today. Thanks.
Good. Well, we've been getting, this has been a hot topic and we haven't covered it on the show yet. It's a bit sensational. I wanted to treat it with a lot of respect and a lot of care. And so I just thought we would start right off the bat. I mean, what is polyamory? Is it swinging? Is it sleeping around? Is it full-blown romantic long-term relationships with multiple partners? Is it open relationship? Is it just about screwing other people? I mean, what, in your opinion, and I know that you are not the spokesperson for polyamory, okay? But what, in your opinion, in your experience, is polyamory?
I think it's a great question, and it is really challenging to answer, basically because of everything that you said. It is all of those things. And the main thing that I can say is that it is personal to each person and each couple, each partnership. In my own personal life, I think it has also meant many different things. And with my partners, I've explored having just total freedom to sleep with whoever we want to sleep with, all the way to total monogamy, and then the gray area in between being where we might say, okay, these are the people that are on my approved list for you to be sexual outside of our relationship with, or these are the approved things that are okay for you to do with other people. But I also, both in my work and in my personal life, have come across a lot of people who explore in this arena, and it really has, you know, everywhere from that, like, total swinging kind of partner swapping vibe to people who only play with other people when they're with their partner. Like, they just go to play parties or sex parties and they just explore together with other people. Or, and I know people who also have had long-term romantic relationships that are not to someone who is not their husband or their wife or their girlfriend or their boyfriend. And I've seen it work to varying degrees in all those different iterations.
Right. And let's back up a little bit. Let's set a little context. You're married now. You're actually a new mom.
Yeah.
And so are you currently in an open relationship?
I am.
Okay.
I will say that I knew that I needed some structure for the time that I was pregnant. And I set that up really clearly before I got pregnant. And I made it really clear to my husband, and I got his buy-in, that if we were going to go through with this and have a baby and I was going to be pregnant, I needed to be able to, like, 100% call the shots while I was pregnant.
Okay.
Because I was imagining kind of an emotional ride, and, you know, it wasn't something that I could just back out of. Like, okay, I don't want to be pregnant today.
Right.
And so we were 100% monogamous while I was pregnant.
Okay.
And then after the baby came, we kind of checked it out, and we explored for a little while. You know, I mean, when he was first born, it was so new, and we were so sleep deprived. But then after a little while, we started checking in again about how we wanted to be parents and still also be the people we were before we became parents.
Uh-huh.
And one of the ways that plays out in my relationship and my marriage is that we try to create space, to play with other people.
Okay, got
it. And so that's how we're doing it right now.
Okay, and describe, I mean, does your husband have similar relationships that, say, like you have with other men? How does it work? Or does he kind of go for one thing and you go for another? Help me understand the nature of the relationships you guys are participating in.
Yeah, good question. Because I do find that sometimes we go for similar things, and then a lot of times it is a little different.
Okay.
And I have found that I gravitate towards fewer extracurricular relationships, and I stay with them a lot longer.
Okay.
Whether that's because I'm a woman or if it's just my personality type, it's hard to say.
Okay.
But I do. For me, anyway, if I want to be sexual with someone, I tend to want to know them a little better.
Sure,
that makes
sense.
That has me feel safer, and I want to let go more. And I think I also like the ride a little more. Like, I like being taken out, and I like the conversation, and that I like that whole part as well.
And I think a lot of people assume that, you know, having being in a polyamorous relationship means that the other partners are just there for sexual needs. But you're saying it's for the ride. It's for this romance. Is that right?
It definitely has been for me. And honestly, also, you know, in that, I've created some really deep friendships. And I've also watched my husband's relationships with those men deepen as a result of me being in relationship with them.
So your husband is actually friends with some of the male partners that you have, and you're saying that it's deepened their friendship?
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
I do think that that's partly because my husband's extraordinary.
Yes.
But I think it's wonderful to see that as a possibility.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And I mean, is this so many people are out there and they're married and they're looking at polyamory, they're looking at open relationships as, something's not right in my marriage, so I need to go outside of it. What has you stepping into open relationship?
What has me stepping into open relationship? I think it is more for the breadth of relating. And also, the best way I can say it really is, like, for movement, that there is a way that in my relationship anyway, we can get a little stagnant with each other. We'll end up doing the same things, or we'll kind of spend time together in the same way. And we both get a little, like, irritable.
Mm-hmm.
I'll often think, like, oh, I want more time with my husband, but really I'm going to get a little irritated if we're together too much.
Okay.
And although I do think that it can, with a really solid foundation, it can work in a relationship to say, like, hey, I really want X. And the other partner say, like, you know, I don't want X.
Mm.
And then to step outside the relationship for that person to get their needs met.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it can be very sticky and very tricky because it is at the risk of sort of being like, oh, I'm just not satisfied in my relationship. I'll just go kind of get satisfied somewhere else without actually engaging my partner in the work it would take to be satisfied there.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm kind of sniffing too, is this a way to actually keep from going deeper with your primary partner so you go outside of it? What do you think about that? What's your response to that?
again, I would say it's very personal. And I do think that that is one of the pitfalls. And I see that even, you know, I've seen it in my relationship and I've seen it with very highly conscious people. And it just is easy to do. I mean, it's easy to get swept away in the romance of a new person and all the newness that they bring. And that's why I really stress that strong foundation, because I would say that's the number one pitfall. And in addition to that, I would say though that it is not always that way, and that for the most part, you know, 99% of the time, my husband and I have really found that it brings us closer. A specific example actually would be that he went out on a date last night, and I felt really good about it. I actually talked to the woman before they met up and just to connect with her and say, hey, I know you and I don't know each other that well, but I want to know you. And I don't want this to be something that gets in the way, is that you're now connecting with Decker, so we lose our connection. And then when he got home, he and I just had the sweetest connection. And I felt really good that he got to go out and get his needs met in a specific way, and that he could come back to me actually more full. And we just talked and cuddled and had the best reconnection.
I think that's got to be mind blowing for most people. It even challenges me to think that, oh, my partner is going to leave me physically, going to be out with another person, and yet when they return, our relationship is going to be even juicier, more full. We're going to be more connected. We automatically assume that if the partner is with somebody else, that it's depleting or hurting our relationship.
Yeah. I think it's very tricky.
Yeah.
And it really does take a lot of, takes a lot of awareness, and it really takes a desire to be with to go through some of the emotions that come up that aren't all sweet and yummy like that, you know, that aren't like, oh yeah, and then we just reconnected really well. Because there are those times when my partner comes back and I feel kind of, you know, a little icky, or, I'm not quite sure what the word is, but maybe I do feel like I maybe need something from him to reconnect. Like, oh, he was out and I'm feeling a little irritated, or maybe I didn't get to go on a date I wanted to go on, or and to just go through that.
Got it. I mean, do you get jealous? I mean, what would have you get jealous? What would have it be, you know what, this is not working for me, you get your ass home right now? Like, what would have to happen for that to show up?
Well, I'll just say there's a range there, because I definitely get jealous.
Okay.
I get very jealous. Mm-hmm. I'll just leave it at that. And,
you're human.
Yeah. You know, and it's really hard sometimes, because my partner almost never gets jealous. And it's so frustrating, actually, you know, sometimes I just want him to like feel that feeling. And then, you know, my better moments, I'm glad that he doesn't, and really grateful. But, but I have also had times where he's been involved with someone where I don't trust her, or I don't trust their connection, or there's something that's not working for me. And I can't always put my finger on what it is.
Okay.
But I have learned to trust that intuition more and more over the years. And again, it's sort of this practice, because maybe I'm just feeling kind of jealous.
Oh, right.
Or maybe I want something, or maybe it means I need to have a date night with my husband every week, and we need to make sure that we have that scheduled, or, you know, there's all kinds of things there. But I have also found that my intuition has played out, and it's really important to me. And I think partly this is because neither he or I really, for the most part, just have flings with people that we never see again.
You're seeing people that are kind of in your community, or that you're going to bump into from time to time, right?
Yeah. Me more so than him. But yeah, if I'm going to come into contact with his other lovers, I really need to feel that there's some baseline respect for our relationship. And that ante has been upped by having a baby. Mm-hmm. Like, I really, it's like, okay, we're a family, and yeah. I really need to feel that there's a respect for the family unit. And I've definitely had the experience of bringing people into our relationship that it couldn't really play that game. And I do really trust that they wanted to.
Uh-huh.
But wherever they were at in their lives, or maybe they weren't being 100% honest with themselves. And there have been lines that I've drawn and said, like, no, not that person, not ever.
I could imagine that if you were to kind of smell, like your intuition was to smell that this woman that's coming into the field here really doesn't recognize our relationship as the primary relationship. She would come in here and break this up in order to have my husband.
Totally.
Okay. And if you were to sense that, you're like, no way.
That is not okay with me.
That's not okay. But if she comes into it and like, hey, I get it. You guys are a unit. You guys are a family. I don't want to have anything to do to mess that up. And she respects that. Then that has you feeling more open.
Totally.
Okay.
And that's actually what happened with this woman last night. You know, I don't really know her that well. So there's that one part that's like, oh, I don't know. Can I trust? Will it be okay?
Yeah.
And then there's this other part that was intuition that was like, I really think it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this nice conversation with her yesterday, but then I woke up to an email from her this morning saying, hey, I just wanted to reach out again. And I want you to know that my primary intention is to be supportive of you and your family.
Wow.
And, you know, and I wrote her back basically and said, this is why I felt good about you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you guys are actually in dialogue about what's going on between her and your husband and just like building trust from that place.
Yes.
Got it. I just get like, this has got to be a lot of work too. I mean, if most people are used to kind of going on Valentine's Day dates with their wife, and that's kind of the big night out, maybe the anniversary, and like really not putting a lot of energy and time into the relationship, this would blow it up. This would just couldn't exist. But you and your husband, I get like spend a lot of time. I don't know. It just like, it takes a lot of time and energy to be able to pull this off.
I think that is true. And I would definitely say if someone has never explored, it is, you have to really say like, okay, I have enough time and energy for this. You know, it's gotten to the point with my husband now where we don't have to spend all the time processing. We don't necessarily have to process every date or every person, but that's over a lot of years and really exploring a lot of different ways. So yeah, if anyone out there is thinking like, well, you know, maybe, I would just say, you know, make sure that you're really going to be able to make the time.
Yeah.
For your partner and also for the people that you bring in, because as much as we are the primary and taking care of our relationship is primary, you know, it's really important not to just think of the other lovers as like, oh, whatever, they're just the second or the third or whatever.
Absolutely.
They have feelings too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not like she's just my mistress and she does my favors for me and, you know, but you're my love. You're the one I actually have feelings for. That's going to leave the other person if you're sensitive.
Right, exactly.
You know, she's actually wanting to be in a relationship of some sort. You know, you got to show up there too.
Right. You know, and at the very least, I think we like to make sure that we leave the other people better than we found them. And that still could be a one night stand. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean a long-term commitment, but just making sure that that's really where they're at, or that we're going to leave them better than we found them.
I think that's a great context for, you know, why would I want to be with this person? What would have me want to bring them into my life in a close way? Oh, I would like to contribute in their life in such a way that they're better off than they were before that we met.
Totally.
Very cool.
And I had a man that I was dating share with me that it helped him to clarify what he really wanted in a primary and long-term relationship, to have spent so much time with me and dated me for so long, and to see how my relationship with my husband is, and, you know, just find out then in with he and I also what worked and what didn't work. And
got it. So what are some of the, I'm getting some of the benefits, but what are some of the cons? I mean, what are some of the nightmares that can happen? Cause it seems like when I bring up this topic of conversation in other areas, everyone's like, and every time I've heard about this, it's a nightmare. It's like a total car crash. I'm just curious what happens. Why does it go south?
Probably number one reason is some sort of lack of communication. And a lot of times it's probably something that wasn't communicated at the beginning.
Okay.
And it may not be, something that someone is intentionally hiding, but maybe they're just hoping that it's not really a big deal, or that they, you know, like I think of people who've been married and maybe they have some long-term kind of resentments. Places okay. where they didn't feel met by their partner, or where they wanted things to go different, or things that they gave up to stay in the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But they never communicated that.
Got it.
And, you know, maybe it's there on the other side too. Maybe everyone kind of settled. And then at some point they're like, okay, we're not going to settle anymore. You know, we're going to go out and have what we want. And we're going to start by dating other people.
Uh-huh.
And it can... It will likely unearth everything.
Yeah.
And if those things were hidden, you know, for a good reason,
mm-hmm.
quote unquote,
right.
Then that can really be explosive. Now that can be also the pivotal point at which the marriage like really pulls together and mm-hmm. they really recommit to each other. Or it can be the point where they're like, wow, this is too much, you know,
yeah.
or those resentments are too old or they're too deep. But I think that that's one of the ways that things really explode. And then to some extent, like I mentioned before, that if while those sort of deep, dark things are coming up in your marriage or your long-term partnership, if at the same time you're having like a really hot, sexy fling with some new guy,
yeah,
it can look really appealing to be with him, or like he is doing for you things that your husband can't.
He's the escape kind of thing. I'm going to just hop over to this ride because I'm tired of this, my primary one.
Exactly. And I would say that's generally kind of unconscious. Like, it's not even like, oh, I'm just going to hop over here. It just really looks like, wow, this person really, they ignited a fire that's been dead in me for so long. It can look like they are responsible for the things that are coming up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had a couple friends who have had experiences a little bit like that. And my recommendation has always been like, if you need to separate from your husband for a little while, like if you need to look at that, do not be with the other person during that time.
Great. So it's not about like being leaky and like, I don't know, it just seems like it could be just more of a distraction than taking care of what really needs to happen with your primary relationship, right?
Exactly.
And so if bottom line, if you've got kind of some stuff in the basement that's stinking up the place and, you know, the couple decides to remedy it by opening up the relationship, this is only going to amplify the crap in the basement. It's only going to like bring that stuff to the surface, or it most likely will. And that can be a good thing or that can be a bad thing. If the relationship can't handle it, it'll dissolve. But,
exactly. Okay. And I think more than anything, it's just good for people to be aware of that. And it won't just bring up things in the sexual arena or just around jealousy. Like my experience is it brings up like my most core wounds and issues and abandonment. And, you know, it brings up everything that is most tender.
Yeah.
And so I have to be willing to work with that. And I really have to trust my partner to be there with me when it comes up, and vice versa.
To be able to step into that place where things are so wounded, like those core wounds, those are the places like no one really likes going there. And to willingly invite a scenario into your life that's going to push those buttons, help me understand what would have you want to do that?
Well, for me personally, I just noticed that's kind of how I am in my life. Like there are very few things that actually I can really brush under the rug and then not be aware of.
Yeah.
And it's just a strong value of mine that I would really rather know than not know. And I think it's the basis of my marriage in a lot of ways too. One of our biggest agreements to each other is not to hide anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just really important to me.
Got it.
I feel those things in the closet. I feel them with him. I feel them with me, and they don't feel good.
Yeah, whether they get spoken or not, you still feel it. You know it's right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, is this for everyone? I mean, what needs to be in place before a couple should try this? And I know that this is just your opinion and your perspective, but what foundational pieces need to be in place before, you know, a couple would think about doing this?
Well, I think first and foremost, and I would actually really recommend that people, if they wanted to start, that they look at starting small. And that might either look like I mentioned at the beginning, just saying, okay, well, these people I feel good about, so let's just explore with them. Or it might look like, okay, well, I really want to try this, no holds barred. Let's just try it for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then they know that they have that time to reevaluate. I think that our relationship and some of the relationships around me have really been able to succeed in this way because there's a strong community support around. So we have people who won't, even if we were willing to just throw in the towel, if we got frustrated and we were like, all right, well, I'm just going to divorce you, you know, like,
yeah,
this sucks.
Yeah.
We have people around us who are like, you know what? I stood up at your wedding. And I actually know you're committed to more than that. And I'm not going to let you just throw in the towel. Either you need to talk it over with me. You need to go to relationship counseling. You need to actually deal with things. So creating some structures like that, either having people in your life that will support you in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And letting them know ahead of time, like, hey, we want to try this thing and we want some support. Or actually setting up relationship counseling. And, you know, ideally with someone who can be supportive of open forms of relationship.
Mm. Yeah.
So that you have another person to go to when the shit, I mean, I could say if the shit hits the fan, but I kind of want to say when, because it almost inevitably will.
Yeah.
And ideally, it'll be something beautiful.
Mm.
That it'll actually uncover something that brings the relationship closer together.
Wow.
Something that somebody wants, that when the other person hears that they want it, they're like, oh, I would love to give that to you, you know? But they didn't even know.
Yeah.
But it is really, really valuable to have outside support.
Yeah, I just get like it keeps you from putting your head up your ass if it's all you can think about, and maybe it's only your perspective and not his, or vice versa, and maybe you've lost your own, like you're so kind of wrapped up in what he needs, and I'm not speaking about you personally, but like you get so wrapped up in what your husband's needing, and you're afraid if he doesn't have this, then he'll divorce you altogether. You could actually lose what's an integrity for you. I think it's really key to have that support and to be able to answer those difficult questions. Why would you do this? Why would you step in? What has you stepping in? Is it from a place of service? Is it from a place of fear or lack? I think all of that needs to be examined.
Yes.
Okay. And it also sounds like, I mean, what I get about you and your relationship with your husband is that it seems like it's a constant process of negotiation. What's okay now? You always have these like current agreements, like what's current now, that kind of thing. You guys are constantly working on it.
Yes. And I think that's really important for both of us. I do think it's more important for me. I work better inside of kind of container. So that constant reevaluation. But I hear some people talk about polyamory, like, okay, now we've reached the level where we can be polyamorous. We were somehow less than before because we couldn't open our relationship, and now we're polyamorous. And I'm very wary of that because I think that being in relationship in and of itself, it is like a dance. And, you know, you're a whole human being and they're a whole human being, which means that things are just constantly changing. And that's what you want to be in relationship with, like as they are now.
It's not that being polyamorous is the next developmental step, you're saying. It's not like the evolution of relationship
exactly.
Is to be polyamorous. It's just another option. Is that right?
Exactly. And
okay.
And so, because we evolve and our relationship is just at different stages, we check in. And there have been times when it's just been really clear, like, wow, right now, the thing that when we talk about it lights us up the most and feels like our relationship is the juiciest is to be monogamous.
Mm.
Who knew?
Yeah.
I think my husband especially has been surprised when he has found that that's what he's like, oh, yeah, that really feels that way. Like, okay, you know? And then I've been surprised at times when he's actually said, well, what about monogamy right now? And I'm like, you know, I'm really into dating this one person. I'd like to work out something where I still get to be with them. So we both kind of surprised ourselves in that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's one of the ways that we've stayed close throughout it is checking in with each other and really feeling like what serves our relationship. And that includes like what serves me and what serves him, because we are the components, but right. also what serves the we.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Here we go. These are the takeaways from this episode. Number one, the biggest pitfall of polyamory is avoiding depth and growth within your own committed relationship. If you're even beginning to consider an open relationship, be sure to ask yourself and your partner if you're avoiding something between the two of you. Number two, whatever problems or resentments you have with your current partner are going to be amplified in an open relationship. Going polyamorous is not a remedy, so don't treat it as such. Number three, for an open relationship to flourish, a strong foundation and community is key. Having solid people around you to call you out or to provide other perspectives is a huge help to make sure you're not just bullshitting yourself, and you're going to need that support when things get rocky. Number four, come from the perspective of service. Is an open relationship serving you, your partner, and the relationship as a whole? Are you leaving your potential lovers better off than you found them? Don't use polyamory as a license to grab a lot of ass and leave a trail of terror. And number five, this is not a how-to guide for implementing an open relationship. If you and your partner are serious about it, seek the help of a professional who is supportive of your idea, but will also help you set up the container you and your partner need. Kendra, I feel like I could just sit here and ask you questions for hours about this. I just appreciate you being so willing to come here and really talk about your life and let us in behind the curtain and share your experience. I think you're very brave, and I've always admired you, and I love you so much, and I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, Trip. Thank you for having me, and I hope that this supports people. Whether they choose to engage with other people outside of their relationship or not, I'm really committed to people having more choice in their lives and in their relationships. And I feel honored if I can help people in that way.
Be sure to check out the free videos at triplanier.com. And please take a quick second to become a fan of The New Man on Facebook. Thanks for listening.